It's Friday, December 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, got a great show for you. Merry Christmas. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and I'm coming to you as live as it can be from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. Well, how's everyone? I'm sure many of you are really ramped up now for the Christmas holiday, and you probably, many of you are on travel or have already gotten some time off from work, but I know that you're still listening to the show. I'm getting lots of comments back from you, and I hope that you take this show with you on your travels or share it with someone during the Christmas holidays. But I tell you what, just to get in the mood here before we get going, let me give you a little Christmas jingle, Hawaiian style. All right, are you guys ready for a little tech news? Hey, I tell you what, I want to take a short moment here to thank all of you that have stayed subscribed to the show and have been a part of our Ohana here. And as we're, getting close to the end of the year and wrapping things up, bring it home. And part of the family, being part of the family here is what's most important. And I want to thank all of you for being a part of my extended family. I've had lots of great comments via email, lots of words of encouragement through this challenging year, and I want to thank all of you for being here with us, and look forward to a very exciting 2007 forthcoming. But this year's kind of been a paradox of ups and downs, and as I sit back and kind of reflect on some things that have happened, it's been a pretty wild ride. It really, really has. And all of you have been here with me for that ride. And, of course, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens in the new year and what's forthcoming. But I do want to take a few moments and talk about some developments that are going on with me and with my family. My sister's daughter, Alexandra, is going to be leaving the rehab center tomorrow morning. It's going to be taking a three-hour trip to my mom's house. This will be the first time that she has essentially left the hospital since the tragedy back in August, end of August. And so they're all excited about getting her home for the Christmas weekend. And she has to go back on Tuesday, but at least she's going to get a few days close with family and away from the confines of, stuffy hospitals. So we're really excited about that. And I'll be on the phone tomorrow to see how that goes. And but otherwise, that's kind of what's happening on a local front. We're all wrapped up here. My wife's mother is still in from Japan. I got a bunch of stuff going on this weekend, of course, with family members and Christmas celebrations. And, of course, we're going to be doing our own thing here at the house on Monday. But with that, kind of wraps up the Christmas stuff. We did have some developments over at Raw Voice this week. We have had a search on for quite a while now for a system administrator and someone that ranks up there in the guru category of knowing Linux and working around servers and stuff. And we have brought a new team member on to Raw Voice. His name's Phil Gonzalez, and he actually is a listener of this show. Most of the team at Raw Voice has come from this show, so I find it very encouraging that we've been able to find people from the space from within the Ohana here. And that leaves me with essentially looking for one last, we're looking for a developer, someone that does PHP programming, and looking to add someone to the team still from that. And if we could find that, that would kind of wrap us up on looking for people over there. I've been in talks this week with my web designer for the new site design for Geek News Central. And boy, we are going to go, it's going to be a radical change of the website design. And he's gotten me a few initial kind of cuts, and we've went back and forth a few times and spent some time on the phone today. So that's coming together pretty quick. And I think we'll see a new site to design on Geek News Central either at the very beginning of the year or maybe shortly thereafter. Depends on how things go with the final design cut. I've been working still on completing my video production flow for my CES travels, and that is wrapped up. I've got my video production flow down, and I've got all my gear in that I'm going to be needing to make the production very, very smooth at CES. So we're really, and now I'm kind of getting things to the point where we're actually going to start packing stuff up and be ready to head off to that the January. I'm actually leaving out of here Friday, January 5th, and I'm getting into Vegas on Saturday morning, so that's going to be an exciting week. And last year, the content that we brought to CES saw record numbers of downloads, and we hope to exceed all that this year as well. And I did talk about on the last show how the new podcasting section on the Dig site was causing, basically was not accepting the RSS feed. And essentially through the persuasion of several of you, you got the folks at Dig to get us listed. And there must have been some of you that were pretty persistent about it, because I started getting some emails this afternoon saying, hey, it's up, it's listed. We're actually in contact with the Dig team to get some other stuff added to it. And so we're good. I want to thank all of you out there that made that happen. And, of course, I sent an email blast out to the newsletter, which I actually got a little pushback from one listener today, which is kind of surprising, on me sending that email blast. But you do realize that I very rarely send anything via the newsletter that is not necessarily show notes. I think we've only done it, or I've only done it three times in a year. So I want to thank all of you that went over there and dug the show. And if you haven't done so already, I'll put a link up in the show notes. You can go over to Dig and dig the show and see if we can get the site some recognition over there, or get the show, show some recognition. And, you know, I kind of had to laugh. Well, it wasn't funny, but it was Tuesday evening. My daughter comes downstairs, and I was actually setting some things up in the garage. And she comes and she goes, Dad, I think there's a fire upstairs. And, you're kind of like, she's kind of nonchalantly coming down and saying she thinks there's a fire. And I'm kind of like, fire? So I dash upstairs, and by the time I got to about the fifth or sixth step upstairs, I knew immediately that something here in the office was going south. And as I like to put it in electronic terms, something was letting the smoke out of itself. And I got into the office, and all the computers were up and running, and I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. Didn't see no smoke. Could definitely smell it. So I started shutting computers down, and I got to the suspect machine. There was one machine that's been running for the longest time. It's the one that runs my BBS. And I believe it's the one that has the issue, and I haven't had a chance to get a new power supply for it. But it appears the power supply on that box went south, even though it was continuing to run. But the only way I really could figure it out is once I got everything cold turkey in here and then opened up the windows and got everything aired, I turned them on one at a time to figure out which one it was. So I got to get in there and see what the damages were. But when your kid comes down the stairs, something's on fire. It sure does raise your awareness, that's for sure. I put a story up on my blog. Well, first of all, let's take care of a little business, and I'll go ahead and get into some of this tech stuff. And, of course, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. And I'm pretty happy. I was in a auction for some domains, and I was able to score a podcast FAQ and podcastfaqs.com today. And got those both for $10 each. So I'm really stoked about getting those two domains. We're going to point those over to the in-development site at whatsapodcast.com to kind of help you know, people looking for information on podcasting. So you never know where you're going to save some money, and you can, of course, check that out over at GoDaddy.com. And, of course, our long-term sponsor, GoToMeeting, and working with their application. You know, these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that revolutionized how you communicate with your business associates, families, and friends. The versatile tool allows you the ability to host online meetings anywhere at any time, and it's just like you're all in the same room, and you can use GoToMeeting for one flat rate. Unlimited meetings means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. I do want to thank both of these sponsors for being in the space, and they've been in the space now for nearly 18 months. And just quickly, though, I want you all to realize that they are not only helping this show continue to move forward, but they are also helping nearly 140 other shows that I represent move forward as well. And they have, through their generous advertising budgets, we've been able to make an impact to a lot of people, to a lot of their shows, in order to not only help them sustain their shows and pay for bandwidth and hosting and a meal out with a wife for the sacrifice and maybe the person that's doing the show, that time away from them. But, you know, they've made a real difference in this space. And I'm highly, highly appreciative. I know some of the people that listen to the show complain from time to time about the advertisers. This show and other shows would not be able to do what we do without those sponsors. And it's important, and I hope you continue to support them. I do appreciate those of you that do. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. But for the individual that sent me an email today, I am sensitive to people's comments, but at a certain point, I can't please everyone. And while I love everyone in this Ohana, in this family of listeners, if you don't agree with the format of the show, then there are lots of other shows out there. Check them all out. Go find some. Hey, this show is not for everyone. And it's got its own style. It's got its own format. And, hey, it's my show. And as much as I care for each one of you, I can't please everyone. So take care. And we wish you back if you decide to come back at a certain point. But the show will move forward based upon my outlay of an agenda and how I put the show together. Okay, let's go into a little bit of something that just irritated the living heck out of me yesterday. I had been in the office, and you know, normally I do not eat at fast food restaurants. I just don't. First of all, I'm 5'10", I weigh 190 pounds, and you know, the fast food stuff, you know, you eat there a couple of days and you're 3 pounds up. And you know, I have to really, really watch what I eat. But I had been talking in the office with some guys, and they said, "Do you know that at the McDonald's, the drive-through now is outsourced? The person that takes your orders is in California." Well, you know, I'm in Hawaii, and for me, that seemed pretty strange and far-fetched that the order taker would have actually been in California. And yeah, I was kind of hankering for a Big Mac, and I said, "Okay, I'll go check it out." And I hadn't been to this particular McDonald's in, I don't know, 3 or 4 months probably. And so I rolled up there, got in the drive-through line, and came my turn. I put my order in and got done. And I said, "Hey, by the way, are you? I heard a rumor that you are actually in California. Is that true?" And the gal on the other side said, "Yeah, I'm in California." I said, "That's strange." And she didn't really reply back to me. I said, "Are you really in California? Are you in India or someplace like that? Or are you actually in California?" And I didn't get a response. Well, either she had decided to move on to another customer at a different window or something, I don't know. But I was kind of freaked out about it that here I am in a drive-thru in Hawaii and I'm getting my order taken by a gal that's in California. So I drove up around to the next window where they normally have the cashier there to take money, and there was no one at that window. The window was closed, but you could see through it. And I could look in and I could see, and I looked specifically at the order screen where they enter their orders in, and the screen was updating. You could see like someone was pressing the buttons, but there was no one obviously there doing that. So I kind of said, "Yeah, they're doing something remote there and are tied in via some remote session with the computers." So then I rolled around to the checkout window and I asked the guy there, I said, "Hey, is the person taking the orders on the drive-thru actually in California?" And he says, "Well, that's what we've been told to tell you," and kind of looked at me. And man, that just, I don't know what it was, but it gave me the indication that maybe that person was in California, or maybe that person really was somewhere else. And the first thing that went in my mind was, McDonald's had outsourced this to a foreign country. And this is a service level job. How many of you guys that listen to this show, and gals, when you were a kid or a teenager and trying to make extra money, you worked at McDonald's? I know, I'm sure there's some of you in this audience that did. And there's some that probably, you know, there might be people that work in management at McDonald's or work as a manager. And you know, you basically started out at the beginning rung and work your way up. Well, those starter level jobs are what gives, you know, kids and, you know, moms that only can work part time and, you know, people that are that need some extra income or actually needed, you know, full time income. And it just made me mad that the person that was taking the order on the other end was in fact out of state. That money wasn't being used in this state and there wasn't a person drawing a check in this state. And I told the guy, I said, "Forget it." I said, "Cancel my order." I said, you tell the manager I'm not supporting a fast food chain that outsourced service level entry jobs." And I think he kind of was a little bit surprised. I said to him on the, you know, as I was getting ready to drive away, I said, "Well, at least they can't outsource you." And he kind of smiled and winked at me and I drove off. But, you know, what do you all think of that? What do you all think of outsourcing? I went back to the office and I actually Googled this. And it turns out this is old news, and it's been going on for a couple of years, and I guess they got call centers that do this. Professional order takers is what they call them, and I was, you know, I just couldn't believe it. I really, really couldn't. So anyway, I will continue to support the Ronald McDonald Houses and donate, and I'll do that separately, but I'm just not going to support a fast food chain that outsources entry-level jobs like this. I don't care if it saves them 10 seconds on a drive-through order or not. It's ridiculous. And, you know, how long will it be before those call centers get, If they are, in fact, in the United States, how long before those call centers get sent overseas? And entry-level jobs, service-level jobs like this start moving. You watch. Next thing you know, we're going to be going to McDonald's and have to put in our own order. You just... Well, you guys can. I'm not. I'll be going someplace else to eat and probably be a thinner for it as well. What do y'all think about that? Voicemail line 619-342-7365. And check that out. When you go through McDonald's next time, you know, figure out who's taking your order and see if it's actually being done by someone in a call center somewhere. Okay, the next article up tonight is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, copyright tool will scan web for violations. And I knew it was only a matter of time before a company really started going after this aggressively. But apparently there's a firm out in Redwood, California called Attributor Corporation. And they began testing a system to scan all the pages of the web, looking at audio, video, images, and text that are out there, trying to find material that is violating some original content producer's content. So a few companies have tried to do this in the past and really did not have much luck, but it looks like this company's been in stealth mode for a while, but has actually gotten some funding. Now, on a personal level, I think what they're doing here is a good thing. And if they are able to be successful and removing content from websites and having takedown notices sent out to people that are stealing content, so long as they respect fair use rights, I guess I won't have no problem with them. And if it really works, it's going to be pretty fantastic, because if they scale it large enough and get enough of database entries, then companies will be able to go to them. And take, for example, the content that I create on Geek News Central. I find it all the time. Content is being replicated on other sites with no attribution back to Geek News Central. And there's very little you can do about it, except for sending out takedown notices to the ISP. And, you know, maybe over time it actually happens. I would actually pay a little bit of money for a service like this that would, you know, watch out for my content's best interests. I guess that's the best way to say it. But what do you think? Do you think this is going to make an impact by this company going out and going after posts on YouTube, MySpace, and others who are, blatantly stealing content from shows and movies and putting it up online? Do you think this is going to make an impact? And what will it do? Would allow those of us that are creating our own media or original content, will that allow our content to rise to the top a little bit more versus this content that's out there that is just from mainstream media stuff? Only time will tell, but it is interesting to see what they're going to do. They have gotten some funding, so we'll just keep an eye on and watch for their bots to start scanning our sites. I'm sure that's next. The RIAA, boy, I tell you, these folks, in my personal opinion, they are just about to, this group, you all know my feeling about the RIAA. You know, few of their lawsuits against file traders have seen the light of day inside a courtroom. And there was a mom who essentially was broke to begin with, who was in debt actually before this started. She has been fighting the RIAA. And what has ended up happening here is the RIAA has dropped the suit against her, but went after her kids instead. I did a pretty good rant on my site about this. You know, as a parent, I understand that I am responsible for my kids, but until my kids reach the age of majority or become an adult, when they turn 18 here in the United States, and in other countries it's different ages from when someone is considered adult, I'm responsible for their actions. Now, obviously if my kids go out and do some sort of heinous crime and where they have done something that maims someone or, you know, something that is going to get them punished by a court and put in jail for a serious amount of time, there's not a lot I can do to protect them. But as a minor, when they're out there doing, you know, this type of stuff, when they're out there maybe sharing some files, if I was not aware of it to begin with, obviously I'm going to get educated very quickly and get them educated as well, and it would stop instantaneously. Now, How come the RIAA does not allow, you know, for some sort of common sense to prevail when it comes to kids that are sharing files? You know, let's be honest. Your kid goes into a store and does something, you know, you're going to have to deal with the manager, and typically the managers are going to scare the kids. They may call the police, but, you know, whatever it's going to happen, it's going to happen on a juvenile level, right? All right, well, this is a lawsuit against a kid, okay? A kid that probably may or may not have known better, but at the same instance, it's a kid. Kids do stupid things. But the RIAA, they just absolutely use no common sense in any of the stuff that they do. And, you know, all right, let's say the kids were sharing stuff. All right, then make the kids do some sort of community service deal, you know? You know, make that as part of the deal instead of going after them for money. I just don't, there's so many different ways they could have a positive outcome versus going after their wallets. They couldn't go after this lady's pocketbook, so they're going to go after these kids' pocketbook. Are they going to get anything? Who knows? But I just don't understand. You know, someday, artists are going to wake up and are going to start taking control of the media that they create, and the RIAA is going to be regulated to an afterthought. But in the meantime, I just do not agree with what these folks are doing and what they continue to do to people out there. And let's let a little, you know, how come in this country no more common sense prevails? You know, how come? The first thing they want to do is sue, call the cops, have someone arrested, instead of letting the parents be parents and deal with it, you know? I just don't understand it. I really don't. Maybe my perspective on this is wrong. Okay, I'll get off my high horse here. But where's your guys' perspective on this? If your kids did this, where should things lay with you? How do you feel this should happen? Let's say your kids are sharing music and you find out later and you put a stop to it, but you get sued. What's your reaction to this? All right. Obviously, as a parent, I'm ultimately responsible. But, you know, here they are. We're suing the mom, but they stopped and then started put the lawsuit against the kids. It's just it's ridiculous. It really, really is. All right. There's some rumor going on that Microsoft is going to be launching the Live Drive at the Consumer Electronics Show. There's been some materials floating around coming in the mail to CES reporters, et cetera, that's being got some screenshots of an advertisement Microsoft has got on the page. It says, "All together now, announcing a new way to share, protect, and store what matters most, January 2007. So is this the forthcoming Windows Live Drive that we've been waiting for? That is the question that is being asked. We will definitely be reporting for it live at CES if that's the case, and we'll get you as much information as we can, and we'll see what happens there. But anybody with Microsoft, got the inside, right? Get some inside scoop. Love to talk to you. All right, there's an article over on apcmag.com talking about how Microsoft is fighting Gmail in the workspace. I'm sure this is going to hit home with a number of you. How many of you go to work? Your boss is real strict on the number of, you know, being able to do instant messaging, being able to surf the internet on private time. I'm sure many of you have got those types of restrictions on in the workplace. How many of you have a limit in the amount of material that's allowed to be in your inbox? How many of you have a hard time accessing your inbox from home when you want to do something? Well, it's turning out that many people in companies today, because of the limited infrastructure that the employer offers, for example, my inbox at where I work is limited to 50 megs. And it's just like every 3 or 4 days I'm getting an out-of-space storage, and I have to drop it into an archive, and it gets it off the live server and just sits on my hard drive someplace. But what's happening is in many workplaces is that people are forwarding that email to Gmail so that they'll be able to have access to it anytime, day or night. How many of you are forwarding work email to a Gmail account because of the accessibility issues? Well, it turns out Microsoft is recognizing that issue, and they're saying that this is obviously some big security issues for most companies, and having email forwarded out like this. So they're making some changes to, or actually Exchange Server 2007 includes a number of features that will make 2 gigabyte of corporate mailbox storage something that is, really easy to do versus making it difficult as it has been in the previous versions of Exchange Server 2007, or Exchange Server anyway. So we'll see what happens here with this new rollout, but if you're using Exchange Server at your office and you're running into this problem, you may want to look at this upgrade as a way to increase the amount of storage that your employees have, and if nothing else, you all can start pinging on your IT people saying, hey, you know, this is going to be good for us. Check it out. And I know, it drives me crazy when my inbox is full. Oh, you've got too much in your account. You need to, you know, I get that message. I can't even send email when I have too much. And with the size of attachments today, 50 megs, I you know, on my personal email, I get 50 megs every 3 or 4 hours. Gosh, thank goodness for Gmail, right? Okay. All right, this next article requires me to sing to you for a little bit here. And I promise I'm not going to be giving up my day job. But here's the headline. On the fifth day of Christmas, Microsoft gave to me RSS. And what this refers to is that Microsoft, back in 2005, applied for a patent for the Real Simple Syndication Protocol. Now, the blogosphere has woken up today and is coming out with their boxing gloves on and are swinging pretty hard at Microsoft. I went over to the U.S. Patent Office link, and I was reading through their submission. And some of the things that I saw in there obviously just about made my blood boil, because I'm thinking, how dare they claim this? Don't they realize there's prior art, that they are not the inventors of RSS? If you go through and read it real close, it is kind of like, I don't know what their objective is here, but there are about 75% of the blogs out there reporting, you know, Microsoft is trying to claim ownership of something here that they don't deserve to, where the other 25% of the people are saying, well, just hold back a little bit. Let's get some word out of Microsoft, and let's also, look at this thing a little closer. Dave Weiner, let me back up. Netscape was the original architect of the RSS protocol. Now, I don't have the complete history on that, but Dave Weiner was a champion of it. He is the one that improved the protocol, add the enclosure tags. You know, without Dave and without Adam Curry building a podcatcher, this whole podcasting thing would not probably have happened the way it did. And so for Microsoft to go out and start trying to claim elements of RSS as their own when they did not create is really got some people mad. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. So we will see what happens and how this develops, but there's lots of commentary, as you would expect. And I'll link to some of those varied commentaries on the net, and you all can go through and read it yourself. But I'm waiting to see what Microsoft has to say on this before I really form a judgment, before I get up on my high horse and really start screaming at them. And I'm actually going to hold off blogging on this until I study this a little more. Because, you know, I have a tendency to go off, and and this is a subject that definitely could cause me to go off in my blog. So we'll see how this develops over the next couple of days, but a nice Christmas present by the Microsoft folks, and I hope Microsoft is out there and going to respond to this very quickly, because if they don't, everyone's going to think it's the worst. All right, next up is a press release that was released by NASA on December 18th. A NASA telescope has picked up glow of the universe first objects. That new Spitzer Space Telescope is suggesting that infrared light detected in a prior study originated from clumps of the very first objects in the universe. Now, they've got some pictures of these clumps, and okay, these scientists are some real smart buggers, I'm going to tell you, because I'm looking at the images that they are showing here, and I'm like, How in the world can they even tell what they're looking at? Is this hypothetical, or where is the science behind this? Where are these brains coming up with this stuff? This type of stuff will make your brain hurt. So I'll link up the press release, and maybe we can get our the folks that did a little bit of space review for us before on some objects, or actually for some pictures, can come in behind and make some commentary on this. We will see, but they're saying that these images are looking at matter that originated 13.7 billion, yes, billion with a B, years ago, and they think this is remnants of the Big Bang. So we'll see how this develops here, and they're looking forward to another telescope that's going to be put in action soon that supposedly is going to be able to give them a lot more detail than what they have already. All right, there's some rumors on the street that the new Apple iPhone is about to come out, and they've got this is a if this is the actual phone, this would fit into the actual styling that the folks at Apple are famous for. It's a I'll link it up in the show notes, and you can take a look at the picture. But it's got an earphone at the top, and it's got a hole in the bottom for the microphone, and it's got a screen, and then no touchpads whatsoever. It just has it looks like something that would be kind of like an iPod touchpad. No, it would like a laptop touchpad. It's kind of what it looks like. It says many abilities, no buttons, and it's if this is the real deal, I'm trying to figure out how in the heck are you going to dial this thing. I'm sure it's all going to be software controlled, maybe voice activated. Who knows? Sorry, I yawned on you there. But I found this over at looprumors.com. All right, those of you that are still looking for a PlayStation 3, you better hold off a little bit. The price of them are dropping rapidly. And there's actually some of them starting to sitting on shelves in Walmarts. So if you're looking for one, you might actually be able to score one before Christmas. They say they're starting to see increases of supply of them in the stores. All right, for those of you that are thinking about making the switch from Windows to a Mac, there's a great article over at laptopmag.com. Talks about a guy that gave up his PC for a Mac and what happened when he abandoned it for 2 weeks, and he's got a pretty good tale here. So link will be up in the show notes, and it might just enhance you to think about switching to a Mac. Now, along with Mac details, the Parallels desktop for Mac is they've released an update to beta 2. It's build number 3094. And I actually did a update to Parallels on my Mac tonight, and I did not get build 3094 delivered. So I may have to go to the site and try to download it. But, you know, I've been using Parallels in conjunction with with OS X and running Windows on my Mac, which makes it really, really cool when I'm trying to, you know, do some stuff on Windows at the same time that I'm trying to work within the Mac. So Parallels is my product of choice for running Windows in the Mac operating system. And they have a special on right now where you can buy Parallels for $79.99. Of course, you're going to need a edition of Windows XP as well in order to load that up. So check it out. Link will be up in the show notes, and they're doing some terrific things with Parallels right now. All right, there's a great review over on Engadget of a new peer-to-peer TV application from the creators of Skype called the Venice Project. And I'm looking at the screenshot here that the folks at Engadget put up, and boy, this application looks absolutely beautiful. I have not seen this. I don't know where you can get it to download. I don't know if they got an early edition or what, if it's actually available. I am definitely going to go hunt for it tomorrow. Heck, it might even be online and just be easily available. But go ahead and check this review out over at Engadget. And if you're looking to put peer-to-peer TV capability on your laptop or you're in your PC, this looks like the way to go. I've got a couple articles tonight that I'm just going to link up in the notes that I think were noteworthy. One of them is about some crooks that nabbed 100,000 microchips by staging accident. Not going to go too much into detail on that. I'll let you all take a look at it via the show notes. This next article, though, just goes to show you, if you're traveling this holiday weekend and you're taking your baby with you, do not put your baby in the carrier where you put your coats and your laptops and everything else, because apparently the folks at LAX were getting a little aggressive in pulling those plastic bins through and accidentally sent a baby through an airport x-ray machine. Well, it appears they figured it out pretty quick and pulled the baby's and tray out of the x-ray machine, but they shut down the terminal, or actually that particular machine, for a while there was an investigation going on, and took the kid to the hospital. You know, you're thinking about it, you got to take off your shoes, you got to take off your coat, you got to get all your stuff out, and you're carrying a kid. What are you going to do with the kid? You going to lay him on the floor? You know, bring him out of a out of the cart, out of the stroller, or whatever you're going to do? Where are you going to stick the kid? Well, yeah, it makes sense. Put the kid in the bin. The kid's not going to roll out and bang on the floor. But I wonder how many people out there, I've never seen anyone put a baby in one of those bins, but I've also watched a lot of these attendants at the TSA, you know, just grab those bins and pull them through. That's obviously what happened here, but definitely not the machine to take a joyride through. The baby's okay, and apparently they didn't say if they'd gotten any radiation or not from the from the incident or not, but scary to say the least. How many of you have heard about OpenID? OpenID is a lightweight identity system that has been gaining some prominence throughout the net, and it's essentially a one way to allow people to have one username and one password for multiple sites. I know now that so many sites that I go to, you know, you have to register, you got to provide an email address, you got to provide a password, and I've gotten to the point where now I've just got this random password generator on my desktop that runs, and I do that, I make a password for a site, and I drop that into a little database program I have, because it's, I don't use the same password on every site, but it would be nice to have some sort of a one type of password and ID for a bunch of sites, so long as it was behind some kind of a secure IP. And this is what OpenID is all about. I think it's a great idea. It's been led by the folks at Six Apart, Vox, LiveJournal, etc. And I'm hoping that if we get some time down the road, that we'll be able to implement this over on our properties as well. It's just a matter of time and being able to put the resources to it to do it. But if you're in the development swing, you may want to look at OpenID. And I hope that this gets a little bit of traction in the next year, as the folks at O'Reilly thinks it's going to. All right, if you want some real fun stuff to do during the holidays, you know, you've got some downtime, there's a new site called Gizmoz, G-I-Z-M-O-Z, and it does some amazing things. You upload a photograph to the service, and it renders a 3D model of your face. And then you can take that and you can mash up that rendering to come up with some pretty cool little video stuff. And it does, you just got to see this. It gizmoz.com, and it looks like a lot of fun. It really, really does. And you can make yourself a little bit of an animated character with this device or with this application. This, for a novelty and having some fun, is going to be really cool to play with. So check it out, gizmoz.com. Got a lot of press today, and they do some amazing stuff here. It's like bringing Pixar to capability to you and I. And so check it out over at gizmoz.com. Almost forgot to mention that Discovery has undocked from the International Space Station and is scheduled to land tomorrow afternoon at Kennedy Space Center. So hopefully weather is good and they're able to get the landing in there. If not, if the weather's bad, they're going to go ahead and land the shuttle in either California or New Mexico. Looks like they are really wanting to get the shuttle home tomorrow. It'd be interesting to see them land in New Mexico. I don't think they've ever done that before, have they? I think they're on a time crunch because of the extra time they took at the ISS. But we'll be looking forward to seeing the space shuttle get home tomorrow. All right, the FCC has made some decisions here. They're voted 3-2 along partisan lines to pass new guidelines that make it easier for baby bells to get into the TV business. This was expected to come down. The FCC chairman has been advocating this for a while. He's been going after small municipalities and kind of scolding them for being so locked into cable providers. You know, what most lay people don't know is that because of the FCC rules in the first place that limited competition in most cities. So it looks like this is going to open up the availability of companies like AT&T or any of the Bells to come in and put in cable services that are going to be able to compete with your local cable provider. And basically the rule change says that it's going to make it easier for Baby Bells to get in TV business by protecting them from unreasonable build-out requirements by municipalities. In other words, local communities aren't going to be able to, you know, put unreasonable demands on the companies. Now, they didn't define that, but only time will tell here. And it depends on which side of the fence you are on. This could be good or this could be bad. I think that anytime there are more choices in the market is good. I just don't know how this is going to end up playing out. We'll see. It could make an advantage for all of us for getting more fiber to the curb so that our bandwidth speeds go up. This could encourage that as well. So only time will tell, but the FCC got their, or at least the chairman got his way on this. All right, Texas, California have settled with Sony BMG on a lawsuit over the DRM rootkit that made such a big splash last year and we talked about so much here on the show. They are going to be paying out $175 to those who had to pay for a repair service to have the rootkit removed from their computers. And those that actually claim damages without documentation are going to be getting $25. They don't say what this is going to, if this caps out. Oh, yeah. Sony BMG has agreed to pay $750,000 to each state, so that's $750K times 39. And what else on this? There's a whole bunch of stuff that came down on this decision. But, you know, this just goes to show, I think this is good that Sony is going to be paying. It's going to make some other companies think twice before they do something stupid like they had done. The FCC has proposed new wireless broadband emergency network, and what they're going to do is they're going to reserve 12 megahertz of spectrum in and around the 700 megahertz bandwidth, and this slice of spectrum is going to be reserved for public safety communications, and it's going to be an IP-based system, whereas if they have problems like they had in New York when the World Trade Center, when the World Trade Centers come down during 9/11, this is going to be give them some bandwidth where they're going to be able to have communications in those types of emergencies. And it's a part of the spectrum that will be available for, I'm sure, all someone within that those communities will be in charge of it. But nice to see that this is going to be done, and hopefully it will improve communications for fire, police, National Guard, whoever's on the scene for some of these natural disasters. But good decision on the FCC on this. Next up is a little bit of news coming out of the UK, and I think this needs to be enacted here in the United States. Telecom regulator Ofcom has vowed to crack down on mis-selling by phone and by broadband providers. Apparently, what's happening in the UK is a lot of these companies are overselling the services that they're offering. In other words, they're saying, "Hey, you're going to get this and this," and when they get it installed, it really doesn't happen. So with the competition intensifying in the broadband market in the UK from companies like Carphone, Warehouse, BSkyB, BT, Orange, and Vodafone vying for business, they're looking to really make sure that what they're stating in their sales material and over the phone is actually what customers get. I think there needs to be a little truth in advertising in the broadband market here in the United States as well. Because, you know, a lot of cable companies are selling people a bill of goods, and they don't necessarily, they're not necessarily getting what's actually being, you know, advertised. I've got a YouTube video I'm going to link to, and I had to laugh here. It's, this is not, well, actually, I can't link to this, because this is not a child-safe video. It's a video that came out of Second Life. And I'll let you guys do a little looking on your own for this. But apparently, there was an incident happening in Second Life that is getting quite a stir in that one of the big landowners in Second Life essentially had a little bit of an attack on her during an interview in Second Life. Now, I haven't been in Second Life probably for nearly, I hate to say it, probably a couple of months now. I actually need to go in and look at my properties. I haven't been in there in a while. But it just goes to show you that there are hecklers and pranksters in Second Life as well. And that if you end up on someone's do not like list, they can do some pretty nasty stuff to you in Second Life as long as the same as real life as well. But I thought that was, I had to laugh. I really did. I had to laugh over the video. You know, it's a cartoon, but it is not, definitely not child safe. So won't link up to it. You guys can look around for it on the net though yourself. Okay, there's a report out now that the record labels are going to be suing all of MP3.com. Now, I don't know how this is really going to work. A bunch of the RIAA studios got together, actually those are associated with the studios, got together and have filed in federal court a lawsuit against Moscow-based Media Services, which owns all of MP3.com and another music site called AllTunes.com. So the pressure continues to mount for that website, and I think it's only a matter of time before it goes down. But you know what will happen? It'll go down one day, and it'll be up somewhere else in a new name the next. That's how these things kind of work over there. But we'll see what happens in this lawsuit. Now, the question is, how are they really going to get any money out of these folks? Are they going to be able to do that? How is this going to happen? You know, they're overseas or in another country. Yeah, you can sue somebody, but you got to get them to court. And if they don't come to court, then there's obviously a default settlement or a default judgment that is probably awarded to the people that have sued them. And where does that lead them? I don't know. You know, I'm not a lawyer for sure, but it really doesn't make sense. It would have made more sense if they would have went into Russia, got a lawyer there, and sued them there versus in the United States. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm sure many of you last week heard in the news about the Immigration and Naturalization Service that raided a meatpacking plant and hauled off a bunch of illegal aliens. Well, it appears that that has opened up a whole bunch of job availability there. And legal residents of this country who are legally allowed to work showed up in mass to apply for jobs there. And it just goes to show you that this illegal immigration into the United States and the hiring of people that are not documented to work here are definitely causing jobs to be lost by people that could be filling them. If they, you know, if this factory or if this slaughterhouse had such a problem finding people, they obviously knew something was up because, you know, this company had people lined up outside the door applying for the job. And I can't imagine, I wonder what the wage differences is. I wonder if this company is going to be caught or going to be prosecuted for paying, you know, slave wages to these guys that were working in the slaughterhouse. But anyway, I thought I'd let you just check that out. Just goes to show that plenty of people out there are still looking for jobs. And, you know, if you're an employer, do the right thing. You know, make sure that your employees are documented. They watch that really close here in Hawaii because we have such a diverse community of people that come in short term and don't leave. Employers are really, really careful. Everyone that I have actually talked to that's out there looking for work, they have to provide the you know, the documentation that shows that they're legal to work. So you know, just, you know, do the right thing. All right, Google Maps Mania, 25 things to do with Google Maps mashups, and I'm going to have a link to this in the show notes. It's 25 links of very cool things you can do with Google Maps, and it's just the more crazy things that you could even imagine. And I'll give you a few ideas here. Find out where it's daylight right now. Calculate the distance between two world airports. Find a world webcam. Map the fish in your tank. Find a world dive site. So there's all kinds of cool stuff within this mashup. Let's say that's about all I've got for content tonight. 54 minutes here on the recording timer. We do have some show email tonight. Let me go ahead and load that up. And let's see here. What have I got? Show comments. I'll load this up first. Got an email from Wolverine. He says, hey, BMW or Lexus already made a car to maneuver for you. You have a onboard computer with car mount cameras, and you have a screen that place you where you want to park. You know what? If I could afford a BMW or a Lexus, I'd probably have one, but not on my pay. And someday, those of us that are regulated to buying cars on the lower end of the spectrum will hopefully have this type of capability. But those of you that own a BMW or a Lexus are now already able to have a car parallel park for you. For the gentleman that's in Michigan who is out in the boonies a little bit and looking for a broadband service, he says, get a satellite card by Sprint for a laptop, then stick it in a KR1 router. That's what I have here, as a KR1 router and a U720 USB stick that works with that. It all depends. I think, Lawrence, he needs to go out to the actual... He needs to go talk to Sprint or Verizon and find out if there's actually EVDO service in his area. If it is, it'll, you know, he's going to get some definite speed increases compared to dial-up. But I think he was really looking for the most bang for the buck. And I kind of think this is probably the best way for him to get more speed. Got an email from Scott. He said, hey, Todd, love the show. Wrote a little how-to for getting Google Talk and Gmail to work with other instant message clients. He gives me a link to it. That'll be in the additional links on the website. Got an email from Ashala to say, hey, if you have room to mention the startcooking.com videocast in your links from readers section on an upcoming podcast, I'd really appreciate it. It was all designed with a tech-savvy iPod mobile phone audience in mind. So you guys go over and check out startcooking.com. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes. And Ashala, we look forward to working with you. And I know Rob's going to be getting back to you soon as well. And there was an update, of course, today on Dig on the podcasting stuff that came from Mike. I'll have a link on that. Now, I wrote an article on my blog that said talked about dirty laundry. And it was essentially about people that post on their blogs about deals gone bad, people they fired, just general business stuff that doesn't, you know, if I'm going to have a business relationship with someone and it doesn't work out, you don't go and blog and spread your dirty laundry online. You know, you just don't do that. That's not good business, because if I see a company that does that, that puts their dirty laundry online, do you think I'm going to go do business with that company? No way. You know, generally things normally go good in business relationships, but there are times things go bad. And when they do, you close the doors, you talk about it, you deal with it, you suck it up, and then you don't blog about it. So I'd got an email from one of the readers of the website, and Jed, it wasn't your site, okay? It really, really wasn't. It wasn't your site, so don't worry. And actually, I don't even know what you were referring to, but you felt pretty guilty in your response to me, but it wasn't you, okay? Got an email from Trevor. He said, hey, Todd, just a quick note to say, what a great show and keep up the good work. Just a quick question, though. Is the podcast recorded in mono? It's just that it only seems to play through one of my speakers, not really an issue. It seems like you're sitting next to me when driving. Trevor, I do record in stereo, so I will look at the export functions tonight, but I am about 99% positive that I'm exporting in stereo. If I'm not, I'll look at it, okay? It's supposed to be in stereo, and maybe I flipped a switch somewhere. I got an email from Andrea. She says, check this out. I thought you might be interested. A couple of weeks ago, McAfee Avert Labs released a podcast on predictions for the top 10 security trends for 2007. The podcast identifies the threats McAfee believes business and consumers will face in 2000 from hackers and other computer criminals. You can download it at McAfee.com. I'll link that up in the show notes. And let's see here. What else? I got an email from... DT said, hey, Todd, I was listening to GNC 215, which was back in November that I recorded that, and thought it was a great show. Yes, I'm way behind, so this is what happens when you get a new girlfriend. Well, you know, you got to keep your priorities straight, right, Danny? That's for sure. But hopefully we'll catch up over the Christmas break. If you got a new girlfriend, you're not catching up over the Christmas break. He says, I thought it was real good getting your children to do the intro to the show. It put a smile on my face. Now I can put the voices to the people you talk about on the show. And he says, I have a suggestion for the show. I like it how /.podcast is a summary of all the topics talked about at the end of the show. I know your show isn't a pure news base, but I thought it should be nice to sum up the show at the end. Every so often on /., I would forget about a topic, but their summary at the end reminds me to check it out. I know you have a newsletter, which I've subscribed to, but if people were not at their desk listening to it, it might find it useful to jolt their memories. That's something I might actually think about there, Danny. And, yeah, that's an idea I'll take under consideration. Thanks for that. I got an email from Chris. Oh, he says, hey, Todd, for the guy that's having a problem with the Google stuff, he says the Google search results being stored, he says, for IE, go to Tools, Internet Options. It'll pop up the Internet Options dialog. In there, go to Content tab. Click on Autocomplete in there. You can click on the Clear Forms to clear the history. For Firefox, go to Tools, Options, and go to Privacy tab. For the Frame Private Data, you can click on the Clear Now button to clear a plethora of stuff. The POS can be customized in the Settings button. Saved form information is included here. Saved form information is included here. So this is for the caller that had Google searches being saved in his cache that would show up. And I know many of you probably like to get that cleared out from time to time. So there was instructions on how to do that. I got an email here. Thanks, Walter, for the same response. I got an email from, oh boy, this is a bunch of CES stuff that got in there. It should have been in this folder. I guess the last email here for the night, this is pretty long. Let's see what part of this I want to read. He says, hey, it looks like the iPhone name trademark was owned by Infogear, which was purchased by Cisco. In fact, if you go to Cisco's site at www.cisco.com, and a very long URL, I'll put that in the show notes, and look at the copyright date for that page, you'll see that the page was updated in sometime in 2000. So it would seem that Apple has no claim against Cisco. And he goes on to talk about the Comcast fiasco, the guy that blew up a person's MacBook. He says, although I've not had a problem with Comcast, some of the videos out there of their incompetent techs are hysterical. That said, I've never had a problem with Verizon. The two times that I've had their reps out, first to install DSL a few years ago, and then last weekend to install fiber to the home, the techs who came out were very knowledgeable. The DSL tech, when they realized that I am a system admin with a LAN already installed in the house, installed filters in the junction box outside the house and said, just run a cable and connect your DSL wires here. So I didn't need to install any DSL filters in my house, which was awesome for the fiber to the home install. The tech replaced all the copper wires outside of the house with fiber, answered all my techie questions, and was out of there in less than 2 hours of an expected 4-hour installation. He even said, because of the way you have everything set up, this was the easiest install I've ever done. The connection so far is rock solid. Part of my human nature is to tell people about a bad, part of a human nature is to tell more people about a bad experience than a good one. So I thought it would be nice to give that rare good story. I've had a few good ones too here. Matter of fact, when I had the last cable guy out, I knew where there was an issue in the system, I had pinpointed it down, and I, put my finger on it. I said, this needs to go. This needs to be replaced. And he did some testing, and he kind of looked at me kind of funny. How did you figure that out? And I'm like, well, not only I have access to spectrum analyzers, too. And I had a good experience as well. But, I want that fiber to my house. I really, really do. I am so jealous. If we ever leave Hawaii, wherever I move to, I'm going to move to an area that has fiber to the house. Okay, got an email from Gene. Thanks, Gene, for your email. Got an email from Lloyd, from Drew, from Alan. Let's see here, from Joshua. I think that's all of them that had sent in. I had stacked more here I had in another pile. But, hey, thanks all of you for being part of the family here, being part of the Ohana. And, of course, have a merry, merry Christmas. Be safe, okay? And I look forward to, probably will not have a show for you Tuesday. It's going to be good for me to have a little bit of a break and to enjoy the holidays. And I hope that all of you will, listen to one of the older shows or something there. Send comments via voicemail. Rouse me up, do something. And maybe I'll do a special little video cast or something. Maybe I'll do that. And just to prove that I've got my production flow down for CS. But as always, comments to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline with your rants, hates, screaming and hollering, or whatever you want to say. 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. 7365. And, of course, from historic Fort Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. Actually, sunny and warm Honolulu. Have a Merry Christmas. Aloha.